Sun's Week in All. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is Dan Friedel filling in for VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Sports fans in the U.S. are still buzzing on Tuesday about Tiger Woods' victory at the Tour Championship on Sunday in Atlanta, which capped off his years-long attempt at a comeback. As we mentioned on Monday's show, Woods last won a PGA tournament just under 1,900 days ago. We'll be joined on today's show by Washington Post sports reporter Chuck Culpepper, who was at the Eastlake course in Atlanta on Sunday to see the final round of Woods' rousing victory, which came just months before his 43rd birthday. Also on today's sports menu, my colleague Gwen Ooten has a look at the FIFA awards show from Monday night, which produced plenty of social media reaction and some Tuesday morning columns asking questions like, how is it possible that Mohamed Salah of Egypt did not get included in the world's best 11 players? We'll also start thinking about the National Basketball Association, whose players are just now reporting for training camp ahead of the opening week of the season, which is under 1 month away. In Los Angeles on Monday, LeBron James, now of the Lakers, met the media for the first time wearing his number 23 jersey in the purple and gold. And sticking with Los Angeles, we'll have a look at a little girl who wowed the LA Galaxy crowd, including usually stoic Zlatan Ibrahimovic, with her rendition of the U.S. national anthem ahead of the team's Sunday afternoon game with the Seattle Sounders. On Monday afternoon, a mere 23 hours after Tiger Woods was marching up the 18th fairway in Atlanta, I talked with Chuck Culpepper of the Washington Post, who's covered Tiger Woods for years, but said he was impressed by the volume of the crowd as Tiger was preparing to cap his comeback. He compared it to the roar of the college football crowds that pack the stadiums of the major universities in the southern part of the United States.
Well, and the interesting thing about Sunday is that it's the first time I've really thought of a golf tournament as having a little bit of an SEC sound to it. And a Southeastern Conference football sound, you know, is, to me, the loudest sound in American sports, the loudest thing we have, the thing we have that maybe approximates European soccer the most, and in terms of noise. But Sunday, I heard noises, just a brand of noise up on the course that I hadn't heard. I've been to 33 major tournaments, but I never heard something like that.
I asked Chuck about the atmosphere at the course in Atlanta when he arrived on Sunday morning, having driven 3 hours from the University of Alabama football game.
People were talking about, you know, I kept hearing people all over the course say, here to see history, you know, they were taking their photos, they were evaluating their photos, you know, after they took them. There's just a lot of chattering, you know, kind of, we're used to seeing, you know, two and three deep, even along the fairway and especially along the green, wherever he's playing. And I was at Torrey Pines in January in San Diego when he kind of made his tour comeback this calendar year. But this was another level of it. This was just such commotion. And it's interesting that, was interesting to me that when he finally did make his comeback victory, it happened in front of, you could say, lots of Julio Jones, Atlanta Falcons jerseys, lots of Georgia Bulldogs gear, Auburn, Alabama, Crimson Tide, you know, Clemson. So it just happened to be in this part of the country, you know, that had a little bit of a, well, it's football minded, had a football element to it. And It was hubbub. It was commotion. It was a buzzy atmosphere.
That's Chuck Culpepper of the Washington Post. I asked him how this version of Tiger Woods, who was leading the tournament going into Sunday's play, was different from the one who played in the 1990s and early 2000s.
If you think about some of his most emphatic wins, you think of by 12 shots at the Masters in 97, by 15 at the U.S. Open in 2000, by 8 at the British Open or Open Championship in 2000. And I think yesterday what was different about it is that moment where he had spent the whole afternoon leading by 5. So it was suspenseless, but it wasn't pointless, you know, that kind of thing. And so when he got to 15 and 16 and bogeyed those two, and then Horschel had birdied 18 and the lead shrank from 5 to 2. That was the kind of thing that probably wouldn't have happened back in those other days when, you know, he'd just get a lead and not much of it would erode at all, generally.
I'm Dan Friedell in for Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. I spoke with Chuck Culpepper of The Washington Post on Monday afternoon, just 23 hours after Tiger Woods won the recent golf tournament in Atlanta, Georgia.
I remember when I was in college writing a column for the student newspaper saying that we're on the verge of seeing three transcendent athletes, you know, just get into their prime. And I was talking about Tiger Woods and Alex Rodriguez and Peyton Manning, who were all about my age. I mean, I just turned 43. Uh-huh. And, you know, we saw Alex Rodriguez kind of fall apart as he got closer to 40. We saw Peyton Manning clearly had diminishing skills with his neck injury, and the year that he won the Super Bowl with the Broncos, obviously he was nowhere close to the quarterback he was in, you know, 1999. Here we have Tiger Woods, and he's about to turn 43. What is your sense for how much more runway he has in his career at this point, now that it finally looks like he's got his health to the point and his swing to the point where he can play a little bit more successful golf than he was able to play the last few years?
I would think that given his, you have to say it, genius in his hands, you know, like you said, I still had the game, I still had the hands for the game, and people have always talked about his sense of touch and, you know, how he can tell very tiny fractions of differences between clubs and that kind of thing. I think the runway is pretty long. I think it all has changed now, our viewpoint, you know, looking ahead. I think it's 5 years, 7 years, still to be winning. You know, Sam Snead won the 1965 Greater Greensboro Open at 52 years and about 300 days, still the oldest to win one. There's no reason why Tiger couldn't up and win one of those in his 50s if he continues feeling well, you know, and if he continues, you know, if his back continues feeling well. And so I think yesterday everybody got a sense of promise and of, you know, and of hope that now, I mean, we'll look for the major tournaments, of course, to see what'll be there. But now we look at that runway ahead maybe as kind of longer and gaudier, you know, with more promise than we might have even last Wednesday. And one thing he said to differentiate himself, he differentiated himself from athletes such as, you know, Peyton Manning or athletes in other sports who may come back. Because he did make a point of saying afterward that, you know, I play a game in which nobody's coming to hit me. So the longevity is a different question.
That's Chuck Culpepper of the Washington Post, who covered Tiger Woods on Sunday as he won the Tour Championship. I'm Dan Friedell in for Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. I asked Chuck if he thought this version of Tiger Woods might be able to have more fun at this point in his career.
More appreciative of just being able to do it, just in its simplest form, just being able to be out there. I doubt he will take that for granted anymore, because it sounds like you know, in the quiet, terrible moments at home, he was just living quite a struggle with pain. You know, that comment he made yesterday about, if this is going to be the rest of my life, it's not going to be a very good rest of my life. So I think the nadir, or the multiple nadirs, were powerful enough that I do think there'll be an appreciation factor. He has a little bit different personality than he used to. Still has the incredibly stoic face, you know, and everything, but just a little bit different, a little bit easier going than he used to be, more easygoing than he used to be.
Woods and his USA teammates are already in Paris, France for the Ryder Cup tournament, which pits the best of Europe against the best Americans. Chuck, do you think Woods' win on Sunday will have any carryover to this weekend?
I'm going to make the guess on that, that is such an entirely different animal that I don't, and an entirely different category of competition, and a strange one that's kind of a one-off and all on its own, that I don't know that it, I would guess that it would not have carryover, just because if you look at the Ryder Cups during Tiger's career itself, you know, Europe has had the upper hand more often than the U.S. has. So I would guess that in that case, it's almost like playing a different sport.
In his last comment, Chuck Culpepper of the Washington Post said it was amazing to see how the crowd in Georgia received Tiger Woods as he completed his final round at the tournament.
I was astounded, even as somebody who's been on a lot of courses where he has been playing. I think I went to 7 of his majors that he won out of 14, just to give you an indication. But this is just to give you an indication of why I'm thinking this way in part. But I have never heard the love for him or the fondness for him. I've never heard it expressed as deeply in mass as it seemed to be yesterday. And if I had to guess at that, I would say that, you know, that people have really kind of cottoned to the fact that he had a struggle. The fact that he had a struggle and that now he's here doing this again has affected people in a way that kind of reaches deeply into them. So that was what I thought I was feeling out there, because, you know, it was a level. He's always had fans. He's always had people in the TW caps, in the T-shirts, whatever, always. But there was some extra texture to it this time that made it seem like, you know, people not only were admiring him and admiring the game, which was always so dazzling, but they were identifying with him in some way, is the way it felt to me, because I just couldn't get over how compelling it was, the depth of the fondness for him.
That's Chuck Culpepper of the Washington Post. Chuck, thank you so much for joining us with your thoughts on Tiger Woods' performance in Georgia last weekend. I'm Dan Friedel, in for Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Chuck and I were talking about the Ryder Cup just now, and he said he doesn't think Tiger Woods' success on Sunday will have any effect on Team USA's performance in Paris this week. Here's Ian Poulter of England, a veteran Ryder Cup player, on some of the differences between the Ryder Cup and other major world tournaments like the Open Championship in Great Britain or the Masters in Augusta, Georgia. Poulter was a key member of the European Ryder Cup team, which won the tournament in 2004 and 2012, thanks to his outstanding play.
It's different. You know, walking to the first tee at Augusta, walking to the first tee at St. Andrews, walking to the first tee in the Ryder Cup is that different that it's very hard to explain. It's hard to explain to someone that hasn't had to hit that tee shot before. It's a daunting week, that first tee. Stand. I went up there yesterday to have a little look from the top, and it's pretty big. So, you know, they'll be fully aware of what's happening come what Friday morning. That's for sure. But, you know, my job this week is to have a level of experience in that team room to help, you know, to help those guys through through this fun week.
That's Englishman Ian Poulter discussing this week's Ryder Cup tournament, which pits America against Europe. Some of the luminaries on the team from the United States include Tiger Woods, Phil Mickelson, Bubba Watson, Dustin Johnson, and Brooks Koepka. On the European side, joining Poulter will be British Open champ Francesco Molinari, Rory McIlroy, and Sergio Garcia. Can you believe that voice belongs to a 7-year-old girl? In keeping with the patriotic theme of the conversation today, with Team USA prepping for the Ryder Cup in Paris and the USA women's basketball team about to tip off its final group game with Latvia in the FIBA Women's World Cup tournament in Tenerife, Spain, I wanted to include a clip of Malaya Emma, who wowed the crowd in Los Angeles ahead of the MLS match with the Seattle Sounders on Sunday afternoon. Perhaps inspired by the performance, which even got a look of astonishment from the hard-to-impress Zlatan Ibrahimovic, the Galaxy won 3-0. Congrats to Malaya on an impressive performance. You deserve a Sunny Side of Sports shout-out. Sticking with sports news in Los Angeles, we have some information from LeBron James, who made his first appearance in front of reporters on Monday as a member of the Lakers. LeBron was asked about joining such a historic franchise.
Well, I mean, I think the excitement around the game for me in general, no matter what uniform I'm in, I'm just always humbled that I'm able to play this game at this level. I think we all know, and it can speak for itself, that this franchise has been a historical franchise in this league for years. You know, don't even have to talk about the years they won championships, talk about the players that came through this franchise, that's worn this uniform. So that's an excitement in its own right.
Reporters also wanted to know how close LeBron thinks the Lakers are to challenging the NBA champion Golden State Warriors, who've won 3 of the last 4 titles.
We got a long way to go to get to Golden State. They could pick up right where they left off, starting with training camp. If they start today or whenever they start, we're picking up from scratch. So we have a long way to go. You know, we can't worry about what Golden State is doing. Golden State is Golden State, and they're the champions, and they've been together for a few years now. So, you know, we put that to the side. We can only focus on what we can do to get better every day as a Lakers franchise. And, you know, and hopefully someday we can put ourselves in a position where we can compete for a championship as Golden State has done for the last few years.
I'm Dan Friedell in for Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. We're joined now by my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten, who has this report on Monday night's FIFA awards ceremony. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Dan. The stars of football were out Monday night in London for the FIFA Football Awards ceremony. Early in the evening, Croatian and Real Madrid midfielder Luka Modric was named Best FIFA Men's Player of the Year for 2018. Modric spoke to reporters on the green carpet after his win and said receiving the award is an honor.
It's amazing feeling, really. Feel proud, honored to receive this amazing award, to be the best chosen, like best player in the world. It's really amazing for me, amazing.
Modric went on to say to be the best player in the world for such a small country is something unbelievable. The 33-year-old won the Champions League with Real and played a major role in Croatia's second-place finish at this year's World Cup, where he was named Player of the Tournament. And while clinching the runner-up position at a World Cup is impressive, Modric said he'd do anything to bring home the World Cup title.
Of course, I would change everything to win it, you know. Russia. That's me. For me, is always most important the team, and I would change, of course, all my individual trophies for that trophy in World Cup champion. But of course, this is also recognition for all hard work for the season that I had in Real Madrid and in national team. And for this, I'm happy that people are recognizing me as a best in this year.
Modric was in the running for the Player of the Year award along with fellow nominees Mo Salah and Cristiano Ronaldo. Salah was at the award ceremony. Ronaldo was not, reportedly due to an upcoming midweek fixture with his new club, Juventus. Ronaldo was heavily favored to win the Player of the Year award, and this is the first time since 2007 that the men's prize was not won by Ronaldo nor Lionel Messi. But retired German footballer Michael Ballack says he does not believe Modric's win marks the end of Ronaldo and Messi's dominance in the sport.
I think it's incredibly unbelievable enough to see how often they won the Player of the World award, both of them. And they still very, very competitive. And but of course, if you reach a certain age, maybe you lose a few percentage here and there, but they are experienced enough. With the experience, they will learn as well. So they know how to position in the game, maybe to scoring goals. I don't see, when I see the physical ability of both players, that they drop down in any way. So it would surprise me, but the day will come for sure in the future.
Modric's former Tottenham manager Mauricio Pochettino agrees this is not the end of an era, but he says Modric's is well deserving of the award.
So you still believe that Leo is the best with Cristiano, Neymar, Mbappé. Of course, Luka Modric showed a big prize and big reward because I think last season and in the World Cup that he made was fantastic. We'll see what happens in the future.
Their views were echoed in the Twitter sphere, while some felt Ronaldo and Messi are still the best in the sport and deserving of the award. Many sentiments fell along the lines of this tweet. To everyone saying Modric doesn't deserve this, he played in the Champions League final and won. He also captained his country to the World Cup final, and no one gave Croatia a chance at the start. This tweeter hoped Modric's win will open the door for other players, writing, "Thank you, Luka, for ending a long-lasting run by two greats. It's now time for others like Mbappe, Salah, Bale, Griezmann, Hazard, Asensio, Neymar, and Vinicius Jr. to follow in your footsteps." And there's no arguing with football legend Pelé, who sent his good wishes with this tweet. "Congratulations to Luka and Marta on winning the best awards tonight. It's been a privilege to see you both play this season." That nod from Pelé going to Brazilian striker Marta, who won her sixth Women's Player of the Year award Monday night. Last season, Marta scored 13 goals and made 6 assists for Orlando Pride. She led her team to the semifinal match in the U.S. National Women's Soccer League and led her country to claim the Copa America title earlier this year. Marta said the award is, quote, "worth the sacrifice." Congratulations to Modric and Marta and all the winners in this year's FIFA awards ceremony. More news to come. Dan, back to you.
Thanks, Gwen. We look forward to hearing more from you this week. And that wraps up the September 25th edition of The Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to VOA producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Nashwan Kale. And thank you for tuning in. I'm Dan Friedel in for VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. And that's The Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it. Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, world leaders gather in New York for the 2018 UN General Assembly. The theme of this year's debate, making the UN relevant to all people. Discussing the 73rd session of the UN General Assembly on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm Linor Moudou, host of Health Chat. On September 26, the United Nations will hold a high-level meeting on tuberculosis with the goal to end the global TB epidemic by 2030. Join us this Tuesday as we discuss the significance of the upcoming UN meeting and look at the global fight against TB. Our guest is Gavin Churchyard, CEO of the Orom Institute in South Africa. For your questions, email us at healthchat@voanews.com. You can also reach us by phone to leave a message. Dial the international code for the United States, then dial 202-205-9942. The U.S. country code is 1. Dial 45 after you hear the station ID. Health Chat this Tuesday at 1730 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, Africa. This is James Barty, host of Daybreak Africa, inviting you to join me every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our listener mail segment by sending your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. Start your day with Daybreak Africa every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on the Voice of America.
VOA Africa presents a message in the public interest from the U.S. Centers for Disease Control.
It's difficult to recognize Ebola because the signs, sudden fever, diarrhea, vomiting, are shared by other diseases. It's quite difficult for anyone, except a healthcare worker, to say definitively, yes, it is Ebola, or no, it is not Ebola. So if you have sudden fever, diarrhea, or vomiting, and you have been in direct contact with someone who is sick, you should go to the health center, because no matter the cause, you can receive help there. And remember, with the right information and together with our healthcare workers, we can protect ourselves from Ebola.
That was a message in the public interest from the U.S. Centers for Disease Control, brought to you by VOA Africa.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to soukous, Afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.